God, I pray that John 9 would come alive in us today. God, that the truth of your word would be heard. God, would be experienced. God, that we would see ourselves in John 9. And God, that you'd help us to be the men and women that you've called us to be. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus in John chapter 8 makes a lot of claims. So much that we see the end of John 8 that men and women are picking up stones trying to kill Jesus. And I don't know how many times in your life you've been scared. I don't know how many times in your life you feared your life, or if that's ever happened to you. I don't know how many times in your life someone has said something negative about you, or maybe someone said something about you that was true. It's still hurtful when they talk about you, but Jesus comes at the end of John 8. He's just forgiven an adulterous woman. He said things like, you Pharisees are the sons of the devil. That never ends well, right? He said things like, I'm greater than Abraham. And when you're talking to religious leaders who put Abraham on a pedestal, and likely they should have, but they put him on a pedestal, and this guy over here who's from Nazareth, who used to be a carpenter, is saying things like, I'm greater than Abraham. Things get a little difficult. So much that it says that they started picking up stones looking for Jesus, looking for how they could kill and stone Jesus. And it says he slips away. And it says in John chapter 9, verse 1, that Jesus, you can read it, as he was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Now, I don't know, in the middle of a struggle or in the middle of difficulties, who are you? It's a simple question. I mean, I'm not asking you how are you when life is easy. I'm not asking you when there's money in the account and the grades are good and friends are being nice to you and you got summer plans and you're on vacation, how are you? I'm asking when life is not good. I'm asking when it's not going according to plan, how are you? What do you turn into? It used to be said, when you stir your soul, that's when you find out what it contains. So when your heart is stirred, when your life is stirred, when your life is very difficult, who do you become? See, typically what happens in our life when life isn't going the way we thought it should go is we start seeing things differently. A lot of times we start seeing things in a darker place. Like, we're always consumed just by us. We're consumed by our situation. We're consumed on how I get out of my situation. We're consumed by darkness. The Bible talks about a man in John chapter 9 who was blind from birth. He knew no light. He didn't know what it was like to see. He couldn't compare what it's like to be able to see. It's the only time we see a man born blind from birth, okay? He's healed blind people who become blind. I'm imagining that the situation as far as contacts and glasses aren't the greatest. So a lot of people, blindness is not uncommon. People became blind. They got cataracts. They suffered through. Blindness happened. But this, the Bible says, and John is telling us that this man was born blind. All he knew was darkness, okay? And it says that Jesus saw him. Okay, we have to understand. John 1 tells us this is why Jesus came. To seek and to save those that are lost. You want to know what his purpose is? Jesus came to seek you so that you might be saved. He didn't seek you out so that he could do bad things to you, so he can harm you. He sought you so that you could be saved. That's the whole point. The whole point is restoring a relationship with you. That's why Jesus came. He sought people out. And in the middle of the chaos, in the middle of wanting to be killed, in the middle of wanting to be stoned, Jesus saw this man. It didn't say that this man was crying out, Son of David, have mercy on me. It never said that this guy said, Jesus, heal me. It said Jesus saw him. Because you and I need to see from John chapter 9, first and foremost, before you hear anything else, if you don't hear anything else, hear this. Jesus cares. First and foremost, Jesus cares. He cares about you. He cares about your situation. He cares about the chaotic thing that you call life. He cares about what's going on in your life. He cares about every aspect of your life. You can call me a liar. You can say I'm making this up. You can do whatever you want. You can even pick up stones if you want. I do not care. You need to hear Jesus cares about you, whether you believe that or not, whether you're crying out for help right now. He still cares about you. And that's totally different than any other friend that you've ever had. Because every other friend that you've ever had is a circumstantial friend. As long as you're good to them, they'll usually treat you good. Jesus cares about you. First and foremost, up front, he cares. Verse 6 says, and then Jesus spat on the ground. Jesus just made a loogie, okay? And the guy didn't see it. He heard it, though. Made mud with the saliva and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. And he told him, go wash yourself in the pool of Siloam. Siloam means sent. And so the man went and washed and came back seeing. Again, no request from the man recorded from us here. Jesus saw the poor man and he cared. That's it. Blind man, he cared. His parents, his father, his mother were afraid of the authorities. You can read John 9 on your own. Hopefully you've done that. You can read from the very beginning, okay, that his parents, the religious leaders, we have to understand we live in a fallen world where good behavior sometimes is punished and bad behavior sometimes goes unpunished, okay? We have to see this. If you're a person in this room that asks the question, why a lot, I'm just letting you know you may never get the answers to that question. And then my question is, what if you do get the answers? What does it change? If you're any type of sports person and you've experienced a loss, you can ask yourself all day long, what could I have done different? How could we have responded here different? How could all of these things been different? But it doesn't change the fact that you lost. You can't go back to the game. You can't change it. All you can do from that loss is get better. Learn from the meeting and get better. That's why I love sports. Not because I love competing, though that's a big part of it. It's because you learn so much from life because you're gonna have losses. There's gonna be moments. It doesn't change that you lost, but you can change in the middle of the loss. In the middle of the struggle, you can change. Important question is asked by Jesus' friends. Rabbi, why is this man born blind? Was it because of his own sins or his parents' sins? And Jesus responds, it was not because of his sins or his parents' sins. This happened so the power of God could be seen in him. Okay? If you're a person in this room that believes in generational curses, you believe that what has been passed on from you from the generation before you. So if you're in this room, your mom, your dad, they treated you like dirt. They abandoned you. A lot of people believe that you now will abandon the next generation. And people will explain that. They'll say like, well, that's how they were treated. Well, the Bible is clear, especially in this moment, and it goes back to Ezekiel 18, and you could read that for yourself on your own time, that what has happened to you doesn't mean that that's what a product that you will become. See, I believe that what Jesus does is he doesn't just change our past, he changes our future. And that even though if I had the worst upbringing, that doesn't mean that I now will become a product of that upbringing to my next kids. Because I believe Jesus not only changes my past, but he changes that curse that might have been on my life. And so Jesus is addressing this. He's addressing, it's not his parents. It's not the man who did this. This is life. This has happened. Quit trying to understand why. It happened. We can't change why it happened. We just know it happened. But you can become something different from it. Okay? Understand that up front. So we have to see. First and foremost, Jesus cares. And secondly, your struggle, whatever it is, has a greater purpose. See, if you don't believe that whatever it is that you're facing, whatever blindness it is that you're facing, whatever struggle it is that you have, whatever marriage issue you have, if you don't believe there is a greater purpose for whatever it is that you're going through, then your life then ultimately just stops. It just stops. Hopeless. Dark. How many times do you think this man, who by the way had to beg for his life, The generosity of others is all this man had. Why? Because he was blind. There's nothing he could do but beg. Many times in John 9, the man is not called by name. He is called the beggar. He is called by what he does, not who he is. I mean, could you picture that in our society? Cheater. The liar. The fornicator. The adulterer. The bastard. I mean, if we're going by what the Bible is saying, he's calling him the beggar. It is what he does. It is not who he is, because that's what culture does. We take what has happened to us and we say it defines us. Jesus says it just explains you. It doesn't define you. See, culture wants to define you. Jesus says there's another way. There's another way. And Jesus saw him when nobody else saw him. When his parents didn't see him, when his neighbors didn't see him, he cared because the struggle that he was facing had a greater purpose. What was the greater purpose? And I would say this, Jesus' ways are not always obvious. You're like, I'm not admitting that. Listen, this is not a stereotype, but this is typical. Most men struggle with control. It's not all men. It's most men. It's not every man in this room, but it's most the men in this room. We struggle with control. Why? Because we like to control things. If I can control things, then I can control the outcome of the thing. Right? What happens when we pray a prayer and it's not answered the way we thought it should be answered? Again, how many times did this guy pray, I want to see? I'll even ask this. At what point do you think he stopped praying he wanted to see? Yet Jesus comes along and he's not praying that prayer. He's not asking for Jesus to heal him. And Jesus then does something very unconventional, because this begs the question. You have a unique story that nobody else has. It might be similar, there might be some comparisons, but there's no other story like your story. None. And up until this point, every story that's told, the woman at the well, Philip, every story, every parable that's told, we focus on the people it's told to, right? The woman at the well, she went and told the whole town, comes to know Christ. Philip, all of a sudden, Philip tells his story of what? Everybody eats. This guy, it's on him. The story is about him and his response. The story is his story. Who else was saying, well, here's what I know. I was standing there, a guy saw me, that's what they tell me. He spit, he put mud on my face, disgusting, and says, go wash it. And I did, and I came back and I could see. That's a unique story. And then nobody believed it. Right? Nobody believed the story. Look, keep reading. Verse 8, and his neighbors and others who knew him as what? The blind beggar. We start making t-shirts. So many things that could be on it. Blind beggar asked each other, isn't this the man who used to sit and beg? Isn't that the man who did what? Sit and beg. Some said he was. Others said, no, he just looks like him. Isn't that the guy who sat around and begged for money? Isn't that the guy I gave money? Nah, he just looks like him. But the beggar kept saying, I'm the same one. I'm the guy. I'm that guy. They said, who healed you? What happened? He says, the man they called Jesus made mud, spread it over my eyes, and told me, go to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself. So I went and washed. Now I can see. I mean, none of you are believing this. I'm not believing this. Where is he now?
I don't know.
Okay. I got you. I mean, how many tests are happening, right? All right, what's this say, you know? Then they took the man who was blind, who had been blind, to the Pharisees, because it was on the Sabbath that Jesus made the mud and healed them. I love that Jesus constantly heals people on the Sabbath. You know what I mean? Like, you and I are like, all right, I get what you're saying. I'm not going to heal any more people on the Sabbath. Jesus is like, I'm only healing people on the Sabbath. Oh, you told me not to? I got you. Heal. The Pharisees asked the man all about it. And so he told them, he put the mud over my eyes, and when I washed it away, I could see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man Jesus introduced from God, for he is working on the Sabbath. Others said, but how could an ordinary sinner do such miraculous signs? So there's a deep division of opinion among them. Hear this. This isn't said enough. Jesus always divides people. Jesus divides family. He divides friends. No, we just want multiplication. We want everybody coming to Christ and sitting around a fire and singing. Oh, yeah, singing. I'm singing. Sorry, it's not Christmas time. That's what we want. Yep. But it doesn't happen all the time. How many times have marriages been divided over Jesus? Families. Friends. You know how many friends I lost when I came to Jesus? A lot. Was it because of me? No, it's because of what I used to do that I was not doing anymore. And all I could say is, guys, I have Jesus. And they're like, okay. All I know is I was blind and mud. Okay. Sounds good. Yeah, it's hard to explain. All I know is I was this, now I'm that. These people aren't believing them. Then the Pharisees again questioned the man and demanded, what's your opinion about this man who healed you? I think he must be a prophet. The Jewish leaders still refused to believe the man had been blind. So they called his parents. They asked them, is this your son? Was he born blind and now he can see? His parents, well, we know that's our son and that he was born blind, but we don't know how he can see or who healed him. Ask him. He's old enough to speak for himself. His parents are throwing him under the bus. They're like, we don't want anything to do with this. Why? His parents said this because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders who had announced that anyone saying Jesus was the Messiah would be expelled from the synagogue. That's what they said. He's old enough. Ask him. And so for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and told him, God should get the glory for this because he knows this man, Jesus, is a sinner. I don't know whether he's a sinner, the man said, but I know this. I was blind, but now I can see. That's all he knows. And ever since then, a lot of songs have been written about being blind, but now we can see. One statement. That's all he said. All I know is this. Jesus' ways are not always obvious. All I know is this. My whole life was darkness. Jesus came by. He put mud on my face. I went and washed, and now I can see. That's all I can tell you. I can't tell you anything else theological. I can't tell you where it is in the Old Testament. I can't tell you any of that. All I know is I used to be blind. Now I can see. Is that not good enough for you? Because always, Jesus is looking for the humble and the obedient. If you want to know what prerequisite there is for God to show up in your life, be humble and be obedient. Not just humble and obedient when it's convenient, humble and obedient when it makes no sense at all. Why didn't Jesus just say, be healed, as he had so many other times? Why didn't Jesus just touch the guy and say, be healed? Why didn't Jesus start off the conversation like he did with Nicodemus? He didn't. Jesus did this because this is this guy's story. If we're constantly looking to be like everybody else, then your story is somebody else's stolen story. He has a story for you, and he always grants the story, and that's always seen in the story when we're humble and when we're obedient. Because if this guy's not obedient, he's still blind. And he looks funny. Jesus spits a loogie and puts it in mud and puts it on his face and says, now go wash in the pool of Siloam. And he says, no, he's still blind. He's still blind. He's still blind, and here's what he's praying. God, I've prayed for you to heal my blindness. Why have you never showed up? How many times have we prayed that? God, I've asked you. God, I've begged you. God, I've fasted. God, I've prayed. God, I've begged. Would you show up? And he says, I did. You just weren't obedient. You know why you didn't hear me? Because you weren't humble. Too much? Too much. Because you and I limit God's work in our lives. But we don't want to talk about that because we want Jesus to show up when we want him to show up. Because I'd rather have Jesus as a genie than Jesus as a savior. So we can't talk about the fact that we limit what God can do in our lives. Is God Savior? Yes. Is God Healer? Then my question always is, why is it not happening? Why aren't the Pharisees seeing the miracles? Because the Pharisees are limited to tradition. And instead of seeing the God of the Sabbath, they only see a rule being broken. They don't see the miracle. They're not seeing the guy who used to be blind who now can see. They're not seeing it. They're only seeing that a tradition was messed with. And if your eyes are looking for tradition, you're always going to be ticked off when the miracle happens. Why did the parents not see it? Why did the neighbors not see it? Why did Jesus' brothers not see it in John chapter 7? Because it says, and even his own brothers did not believe in him. We can say it all day long. You can make it your status. You can make it a hashtag. You can do whatever you want. You can say God is a healer. But if you don't believe it, nothing's going to happen. Nothing's going to happen. The crowd limited Jesus. Last thing. Jesus can restore our spiritual blindness. See, I love the fact that Jesus does something physical only to set up the spiritual. Guys walk around 7 days, walls fall, boo, God's an awesome. Verse 35, and when Jesus heard what had happened, he found the man and asked, do you believe in the Son of Man? The man answered, who is he, sir? I want to believe in him. And Jesus said, you have seen him. Jesus said, and he is speaking to you. Yes, Lord, I believe, the man said, and he worshiped Jesus. He worshiped Jesus. What is hindering us from worshiping Jesus? See, I always think that humility and obedience always comes before worship. If I'm not humble, how can I approach a God who loves me and wants to restore me, but in my humility, I can come to him and I can see him for who he is. But if I'm not humble, then I come to him and I'm in arrogance and I can do this myself and I can control it and I can dictate the outcome. But when I'm spiritually blind and I'm blind and I'm in darkness, there's no control. None. I have no control. I'm dependent on others, and Jesus sees me. He seeks me out, and he says, I want this. I want you, all of you, the control, the lack of control, everything about you. I want you in your blindness, in your craziness, in your struggle, in the chaos. I want you so that at the end of the day, you can say, all I know is I used to be the crazy, but now I see. Who gets credit for that? Jesus does. But if you do it on yourself, who gets the credit? You do. And everybody sees you, and you get a nice little applause, and everyone's like, oh my gosh, isn't she so good? Look how cute she is. And we've created worship booths who are nothing but pageant moms. On display, man, look how spiritual she is. Yeah, but how spiritual is she when there's blindness? Who's in control? So we're so spiritual when we can control it. But when we're spiritually blind and we're dependent on a miracle, you know what position I have to be in to be dependent on a miracle? Meaning there's nothing I can do. I don't know how this is going to turn out. I don't know what's going to happen. And so, God, I either trust you or I try to figure it out on my own. And let's say this, typically, myself, our lives, we try to figure it out. And Jesus is just on standby. Hey, I'll call you if it gets too tough. He's never Savior. He's only convenient Jesus. I want, at the end of my story, I want to be able to say, I was blind, but now I see. And I don't see because I did A, B, and C. I see because this is what Jesus did. Because on my own, I'm still blind. On my own, I'm still struggling. It's what Casey said earlier. But when Jesus does it, I've often struggled in reading John, going from John 4 to John 9 and seeing all the stories and thinking like this woman who was at the well, she was unashamed, right? There was no reputation to be concerned with. I mean, she had one, right? Married 5 times, disowned by these men, living with a guy who wasn't her husband. I mean, she's got a reputation. We agree, right? She's got a reputation. And yet she goes back to the city sharing her story, her unique story. Unashamed. I don't care what you think of me. We can read this guy and go, oh, yeah, but he was blind, right? So he didn't care what people thought. He was blind. But even when he could see, he's sharing this unique story. He doesn't care who says something about him. Why? Because his story is his story, and you can't take it away. You could say, like, oh, that didn't really happen, or was it really mud, or was that the point, or when did you get healed with the water? Or, you know how many people were probably trying to sell the water? Yeah? They're like, come buy some pool of Siloam, right? It made this guy see. But you can't take it away from him. It's his story. It's her story. So there was no shame. The problem that you and I have, the problem that I have, is I don't have a story. We bury our story. Well, that story is hurt and regret and mistakes and failures. And so I would rather keep that part hidden. And I don't need, do you know the next generation needs to know about your failure? They need to know about your regret. They need to know that, yes, my mom and dad made mistakes. Yes, they weren't perfect. What do we try to do? Oh, I don't want to share that story with them. That's embarrassing. Instead of going, guys, that's how I was. That's what it was. But here's what you need to see. I was blind, but now I see. Why do I see? It's because what Jesus did. He restored my life. I couldn't fix me. And so I went to the cross, and I was for my future just came and saved my soul. That's my story. My future is secured, and now I can walk in this, and I see things differently. Now I see things spiritually and physically. It's totally different. They need to hear that story. Yes, they'll see you made mistakes and they'll finally figure out that you're not the perfect parent. Good. Good. Because they need to see that you used to be blind, but now you see because of Jesus. And you know what? You'll have no problem sharing that story when you understand it's your story. Your story. Man, I can't wait to figure out like how many people responded to this story. Like, so let me tell you the story. You know, so I used to be blind. I was that guy out there begging. you know, I begged a bunch of times. I'm sure you gave me money. But one day Jesus came by and he spit in mud and he put it on my eyes. And I went and I washed it and I came back and I could see. And they're like, what? That's crazy, man. I know it's so crazy. But then here's the other thing. He said to me, do you believe in the Son of God? And I said, man, I want to. Who is he? And he said, this is who he is. And so I started following Jesus. And my life's been totally different. In the middle of the chaos, there's peace. In the middle of the craziness, there's joy. And man, it's unbelievable what God's done. They'd be like, man, I've noticed something different about you. It's like, listen, there's nothing I've done. It's not me. You can't even give me credit. It's what Jesus did. Jesus did this. And then they're like, oh my gosh, that's what Jesus did. You know what they're not even focused on anymore? They're not even focused on the fact that mud went on your eyes. They're focused on, like, you're different. You're changed. I invite you the next day, the next week, to start writing down the miracles that God's doing in your life. You know why you'll see them? Because you're looking. You're looking. That every day, a miracle's happening in front of you. A miracle is happening in front of you. And we pray this prayer, God, would you open my blinded eyes so that I can see? Because I want to be the guy that says, all I know is this. I was blind, but now I see. Now I see. I think every single one of us think it would be really cool if a whole town came to Jesus. We read John 4 and we're like, man, that would be awesome. Man, to live in Sychar and be like, everybody came to Jesus. You know what it took? One crazy, horrible, reputated woman to open her mouth and to share what God did, her story. And a whole town was changed. My last thing. Three words. Share your story. Share it. Kids, ask your parents today. Make it uncomfortable. Dad, what's your story? Mom, what's your story? And if you're in this room and you go, my God, what's my story? Get a story. I say make one up. Encounter a God who wants to give you a story. How many days was this man blind? A lot. And in an instant, been really cool if I could snap there. In an instant, the rest of his days were different. Different. The rest of your days, you don't have to be blind. God, thank you that you are the God who opens blinded eyes. You are the God who not only writes a story, you rewrite the story. Some of us find ourselves in a spot we never thought we'd be in. This was not the plan. This was not what we thought was going to happen. Yet here we are, and you say, watch this. I'm rewriting your story. And it feels like you're putting mud on our face and it makes no sense because you are not a God who is so obvious. You are not a God who always says, just be healed. You sometimes are the God who says, watch this. I'm writing your story. I'm writing your story. God, today, God, I'll say this for myself. I trust you. I trust you. Because who in this room could say at this stage of their life they could see that this is what would be happening? Nobody. But God, you want to radically change not just our past, but how we view our future. So God, I pray today, if we feel blind spiritually, God, I pray that you would open our eyes to see. And God, I pray strength and boldness over every person in this room, that their unique story is shared. And God, I pray for platforms right now, opportunities for the story to be shared. God, I pray for men and women to come up to people and say, what's your story? Or what's so different? What happened to you? Man, opening the doors for the story to be shared. For there are stories in this room of men and women who used to be blind, but now they see. Thank you, Jesus. Would you stand with me this morning? We just declare this phrase in this song over our lives.
Our God is great.